Today we're going to be continuing on in our sermon series entitled Urgency. As we turn our attention to a passage from the Gospel of John, if you got your Bibles with you, and if not, you can. The scripture will be on the board. I invite you to turn to the book of John, chapter 4, verse number 35. And I want you to listen closely as I read the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, "Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." These words of Jesus are a call to action, a call to seize the opportunities that God has placed before us. They are a call to work the fields for the harvest. I read an example that I want to share with you to compound a point. Imagine, if you will, a vast field stretching as far as the eye can see. The sun is shining, casting a warm golden light over the field. The air is filled with the sweet scent of ripening grain. And there in the middle of the field is a solitary figure. It's a farmer, and he's looking out over his field with some sense of satisfaction. He knows that the time for the harvest has come. The grain is ripe, ready to be gathered. But then the farmer looks around and realizes that he is alone. The field is vast, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He knows, watch this, that he cannot do it alone. He needs help. He needs workers to join him in the field to help him gather the harvest. This is the image that Jesus presents to us in this passage. The field represents the world. The harvest represents the people who are ready to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and the workers represent us, the followers of Christ. Jesus is calling us to join him in the field to help him gather the harvest. But what does it mean to work the fields for the harvest? It means to seize the opportunities that God has placed before us to share the good news of Jesus with others. It means to reach out to those who are lost, to those who are hurting, to those who are searching for meaning and purpose in their lives. It means to show them the love of Christ, to share with them the hope that we have in him. So as we reflect on these words of Jesus today, let us consider how we can respond to his call. Let us consider how we can work the fields for the harvest. Let us consider how we can seize the opportunities that God has placed before us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. John chapter 4, verse number 35 says, "Do you not say," we find Jesus saying this, "4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Beloved, let's take a moment and consider the words of Jesus. He challenges us, do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? Man, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Jesus is speaking to his disciples right here. He's trying to get them to see something. He's trying to get them to understand that the time for action is now. Not 4 months from now. Not when it's more convenient. Not when they feel more prepared, but now. This is a call to action. It's a call to seize the moment. It's a call to take advantage of the opportunities that are right in front of us. Let's look at this a little closer. Jesus says, open your eyes and look at the fields. He's not talking about physical fields here. He's talking about people. He's talking about souls. He's talking about the countless individuals who are ready to hear the good news of the gospel. The fields are ripe for the harvest. The opportunities are there. The question is, are we going to take advantage of them? Now let's take a moment and look at the word ripe. In the Greek, in the original Greek, the word used here is lykos, which means white. In the context of agriculture, this word was used to describe crops when they were ready to be harvested. They were white, ripe, and ready. This is the picture Jesus is painting for us. The fields are white, they're ripe, they're ready, the harvest is waiting. Theologian Charles Spurgeon once said, to be a soul winner is the happiest thing in the world. And with every soul you bring to Jesus Christ, you seem to get a new heaven here upon earth. Lord, have mercy. That's powerful. Beloved, the joy of bringing souls to Christ is unparalleled. It's a joy that surpasses all understanding. It's a joy, you know, it fills our hearts with a sense of purpose and fulfillment. But here's the thing. We can't experience this joy if we don't take advantage of the opportunities that are right in front of us. See, everybody, you shouldn't send to voicemail. As every now and again, you should cut the TV off and answer the call. Every now and again, you need to come out of your comfort zone and say, I know that I'm in the middle of this show. I know I'm in the middle of this game. I know I'm in the middle of, quality time, conversation with the boo, the bae, the husband, the wife. But this just might be kingdom responsibility. Lord, have mercy. How many times have you known someone that you've been trying to introduce God to or introduce to God, and they call you at the most inconvenient moments, and it's always I'm gonna call them back, or I'll get back with them, but how do you know that getting back with them is promised? Last night I received a call getting ready to watch boxing, getting ready to watch the fight, and I received a call. And when I got the call at first, I had my grandbabies, and I was playing with my grandbabies. And usually when I'm playing with my grandbabies, I don't deal with anything else, you know what I'm saying? But something said, take the call. And when I took the call, it was a brother that I hadn't seen or talked to, I guess, in years. You know, we had a moment here at a funeral, and just to make a long story short, not put business in the street, but there was a need to take that call. There was a need to take that call. And I'm believing that sowing of time on that phone last night is going to bring back an incredible harvest with that young man. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so I say that not to put business out there, but I say that to say, pick up the phone. Stop shopping. stop doing you and be willing to do the work of Jesus. Amen. Do work for Jesus. Let's take it there. And so what does it look like in practical terms? First, it means being aware. We need to be open. We need to open our eyes and see the opportunities that are all around us. We need to recognize the people in our lives who are ripe for the harvest. That they could be our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, and most times our family members. Second, it means being proactive. We can't just sit back and wait for the opportunities to come to us. We need to go out into the fields. We need to engage with people. We need to share the love of Christ with them. Amen. Beloved, the fields are ripe for the harvest. The opportunities are there. Let's not waste them. Let's not waste them. Let's seize the moment. Let's take advantage of the opportunities that God has placed before us. Let's work the fields for the harvest. And as we do, let's remember the words of Jesus in John 4 and 35. Open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Let's open our eyes. Let's look at the fields and let's bring in the harvest. In John 4 and 35, Jesus tells us to lift our eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. This is our call to action. This is our opportunity. First, we must recognize the opportunity. The fields are white for harvest. The opportunity is right in front of us. We don't have to wait 4 months. Beloved, some people that we are supposed to be witnessing to doesn't have 4 months. Some of the people, watch this, that God is instructing you or leading you to witness to, watch this, they are in their last moments. What do you mean, Pastor? They are in their last moments. Some of them are going to hear a word and then they're going to go away from here. Some of them are going to hear the word and then they're going to go pass away. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so as people of God, we just can't think that we've got all the time in the world, because the reality is folk are in their last moments. Lord, have mercy. The time is now. The harvest is ready. We just need to lift our eyes and see it. In the book of Acts, we see a similar theme in Acts 16 and 9. Paul has a vision of a man from Macedonia begging him to come and help them. Paul recognizes this is an opportunity from God and immediately sets out to Macedonia. Like Paul, we must be ready to recognize and respond to the opportunities God presents to us. Secondly, we must seize the opportunity. Recognizing, the opportunity is not enough. We must act. We must step into the fields and begin the work of the harvest. We must not be idle spectators, but active participants in God's work. Yesterday, about a week ago, I was asked to do a eulogy for a young man that passed away from leukemia, 46 years old. And I don't know what it was about this particular service, but it was hard for me. I didn't want to do it. And so what happened was some confusion came about and who was going to speak it, and I just bailed. I said, to the other person that was going to speak it, I said, go ahead, you preach it. And I said that Friday night. I said, you preach it. And I went on to the football game where my daughter was cheering, and all through the game, it was bothering me. And I'm thinking to myself, like, shoot, I got Saturday afternoon to myself. I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to deal with this. You know what I'm saying? And because there was things connected to it. And so on Saturday morning, the speaker began to reach out to me. And I knew in my heart, and my suit was still at the cleaners. And Miriam said, you might as well get ready for this. You might as well get ready to do this. This is your responsibility. You see what I'm saying? And the reality was there was about probably 200 people here yesterday, and they was ready for the harvest. But see, sometimes what happens is we allow reasons and circumstance and even pride, right, to stop us from doing what it is that we've been called to do. 200 people wouldn't have heard the word that went forth yesterday had I stayed in the mindset that I was in, had I been willing to neglect the harvest. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so we have to, no matter how we're feeling or no matter what's going on, we have to step back and say, hey, I have a kingdom responsibility as a believer to witness to the harvest, to work the fields, to bring them to Jesus, despite what I'm feeling, despite what I'm going through, despite what the situation might be, despite what the lion's den I might be walking into. We have a responsibility to work the fields for the harvest. Lord, have mercy. So, recognizing the opportunity is not enough, we got to act. We got to step into the fields and begin the work of the harvest. Thirdly, we must trust in God's provision. The work of the harvest is not easy. It requires effort, dedication, and perseverance. But we are not alone, beloved. God is with us. God will never send you on a mission that he ain't going with you on. My wife was teaching this morning, and she was awesome times three. And she said, anytime that God, when God leads you down a path, you ain't got to worry because he's already went before you. You know what I'm saying? And I got to thinking about that, what she said, and I was like, and you know what? God ain't going to never lead us down a path that's going to get us toe out the frame. He's never going to lead us down a path that's going to put us in jeopardy. You understand what I'm saying to you? It doesn't mean that it won't be hard. It doesn't mean that it won't be some obstacles sometimes. It doesn't mean that it's not going to be at times challenging. But if he has went before us, Lord, have mercy. He's made the crooked paths straight. You see what I'm saying to you? Let's look back at John 4 and 35. Jesus Jesus is not just talking about a physical harvest. He's talking about a spiritual harvest. And he's talking about the souls of men and women who are ready to receive the gospel. Let me tell you something. It ain't no better time to me than a funeral of something that was so tragic as somebody being so young dying in those circumstances of sickness. You understand what I'm saying to you? Folk were ready to hear a word. Folk were ready. They needed to be comforted by the words of Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying to you? We keep on missing the boat, but the reality is we keep on wanting to diss the world and talk crazy about the world and the people in the world, but the world is ready for truth. The world is ready for Jesus. You understand what I'm saying to you? Over this past week, we realized that the world needs Jesus. Amen? The world needs Jesus. Lord, have mercy. This brings about my fourth point. We must have, get this. Now, this is the thing. This is because this blows my mind that this even has to be reminded. We got to have a heart for the lost. Oh, that's deep right there. Because, it's real easy to sit in here under your title. It's real easy to sit under here in here and claim saved. You understand what I'm saying to you? But what about when God says, I want you to speak to some people that don't look like you? Woo. I want you to speak to some people who don't believe as you believe. I want you to speak to some people outside of the building and where you're not comfortable, where it's not heavily policed. And I want you to go into some places in the city where people have known to be shot. I want you to go into some places in the city where there's been muggings and there's been robberies and the crime rate is up. That's one thing about Pastor Gross that I love. You know, I'll be taking her into some of the hoodest hoods, amen. And what gets me is we be in some of the hoods, and I'm trying to make sure she's okay, and her butt is just going off on places, just leaving and stuff like that. I'm like, woman, you are in a Lexus truck. Sit yourself still, for we got to do something in here that we don't want to have to do. Kenneth's hands on his gun all the time. Kevin's watching behind, and she's just walking around here like, you know. But the reality is, when you are doing a work for the harvest, you have to lay the fear to the side and love who you are after. Love who is lost. Love who you know needs Jesus. You see, now we took John and the adventure got a little longer, because John had to knock on every door and witness to everybody. And I seen, when I hooked back up with John, me and Kevin hooked up with John, and Kenneth was with, and we hooked up with John, and John had all his papers. We done gave our papers out. John's doing many sermons on the porch. He ain't playing. I came to witness. I came to win people to Jesus, and we need that. You understand what I'm saying to you? We need that. Because I ain't going to lie to you, it's hot. I'm 270. We've been walking for a minute. You know, John, you know, he 135, something like that. It's easy for him to walk him miles. I'm over here sweating profusely. Done drunk all my water. I'm telling Kevin, boy, put them things on the door and let's go. They can read. They can I'm hearing dogs barking. I'm done walking. As soon as I, we don't go there. John is here, boys. Settle down, settle down. No, John, run. Dog don't know us. But it's what you have to do if you want to see them saved. Because the reality is, they're not going to all walk in the church. You're not going to get them in here every Sunday. Amen? So we gotta go out into the highways and the byways and compel folk to come to Christ. Amen? So we have to have a heart for the lost. The fields that Jesus is referring to are the hearts of the people who are ready to receive the gospel. Let me tell you something, beloved. It's hard out here. Life is cold. It is rough. It throws curveballs that we could have never seen coming. And folk are looking for a hope. You understand what I'm saying to you? People are looking for a way out. Let me put it like this. They are looking for a way in. You understand what I'm saying to you? And they might smell like weed when it's time to talk to them. Oh, God. They might not be properly dressed according to your standards when it's time to witness to them. You see what I'm saying to you? They might have two or three kids and ain't no father in the picture. You understand what I'm saying to you? But they are ready. Lord have mercy. They are starving for the truth. They are starving for the word of God, and it is our responsibility, our kingdom responsibility, to make sure they get that truth. And we do it without judgment, because the once upon a time, we was not there as well. Amen. Y'all know I got my own dictionary that I'm working on. And one of my words, some of y'all know it, is Christnesia. Yeah, I made that word up. It's when folk get saved and then they forget about their before saved days. You know, you get saved and get cute. You get saved and now you won't turn your nose up at everybody that's still out there in sin. But you didn't appreciate when somebody turned their nose up at you when you was out there at the hotel, motel. Uh-huh. We... We didn't appreciate that. Now we done got saved. Now, you know, all of a sudden we can't believe such and such is acting like that. Well, it was some folk that couldn't believe you was acting like that. Acting like you came out the womb speaking in tongues. We got to have a heart for these people. We must care about their eternal destiny. We got to care about where they end up when all this is over. And we must be willing to share the good news of Jesus with them. Finally, we must remember that the harvest is God's and not ours. Huh? So you don't get to get upset when they don't move like you think they ought to. Shoot, I spent an hour and a half on the phone with them last night and they ain't come to church today. Oh, I'm done with that. Oh, no, beloved, you're invested in the wrong way. Amen. How many of you done that? Just did your good talking. I'm talking about you. I mean, you know you killed it, right? You saved yourself yesterday. Amen. You witnessed so tough, you rededicated your own life. Amen. And then they turn around and don't come to church the next day. And heathens, bet I don't waste no more time. That's what we do. Tell truth, shame the devil. Amen. I remember I first got on Facebook was when we first started the church, very, you know, 16 plus years ago. And I remember it was a Thursday night. Our Bible studies was on Thursday night back then. And I didn't have no iPad. We didn't, you know, I was writing everything down word for word on a piece of paper. And so I came out and I had put on Facebook, Bible study tonight. This is going to be awesome. Show up, and folk just straight lied to me and said, I'll be there. It was like 30-something people that was going to be there. We didn't have 30 people in the church, you know what I'm saying? And so I was excited. I came home. I'm like, you know, I got on my good clothes, and I'm like, shoot, we getting ready to, and nobody showed up. And so your first lady, she was like, back then we used to do a little song before, you know, we started Bible study and stuff like that. And so she's like, you know, she gets up and she's like, and she starts singing. And I'm looking around the building and it ain't nobody but me and her. And I'm like, who are you singing to? You know what I'm saying? And she's like, well, we got to get ready for, I said, I'm not having Bible study tonight. Ain't nobody here. And I said, so she said, no, you got to preach if it's two people here or 200 people here, right? And so I get up to the stage and I get up to the podium and I'd like to tell you that I did that, but I talked for about 10 minutes to Miriam. I preached to Miriam for about 10 minutes and I just going to tell the truth and shame the devil. I said, come on, it's a happy hour at Applebee's. Let's go get these half off wings. And we rode past a church on the way to Applebee's, right? And their parking lot was full. It was packed. And I was so mad. I just knew that 30 of those cars was the 30 people on Facebook that told me they was coming to my church to get the word. And I said, I hope they all. Pray for your pastor. You hear me? I was young in it. And I remember, like, not speaking to people that didn't, you know. You know, people would like my post, and I'd be like, I'd get in their inbox, don't like my post. You didn't even come to my Bible study. What you? It's not our harvest. They're not our people. You understand what I'm saying to you? Our job is to sow the seeds and water them. God is who brings the increase. That's how we named this church, Growth Temple. I was facing 20 to life in Louisville, and I had just recently been called, even though I didn't know if I was ever going to come home, and 10 flat here in Lexington, and I was praying, and I got up and I started reading the word, and it said, I think it said, I Apollos watered, I planted, I Paul planted, or it might be the other way around, I Paul planted and Apollos watered. But God giveth the increase. And the Lord said right then, the name of your church is Growth Temple. I hadn't even been to trial yet. You understand what I'm saying to you? Not even the first trial. I had to have two, one in Lexington, one in Louisville. I hadn't even been to the first trial yet. And he said, the church is Growth Temple. God gives the increase. Amen. So our job is we're merely workers in the field. And sometimes the problem is we get bigger than our responsibility. And we begin to believe that we're supposed to see what ultimately God is supposed to see. You see what I'm saying to you? So the reality is plant the seeds, water the seeds, then off you go. Everybody that you witness to, you ain't gonna get to see their come to Christ moment. You just gotta trust that if I plant and I water, God is gonna be faithful to one day give the increase. You understand what I'm saying to you? In fact, you gotta have faith that God is gonna do that, because if you don't have faith, you can grow weary real quick. You can be ready to give up real quick. So let's lift up our eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Let's recognize the opportunity, seize it, trust in God's provision, have a heart for the lost, and remember that the harvest is God's. Let's take advantage of the opportunities God presents to us and work the fields for the harvest. See, because in the hustle and bustle of our daily lives, it's easy to overlook the opportunities that God places before us. We often get so caught up in our own plans and our own schedules that we fail to see the ripe fields of the harvest that are waiting for our attention. Yet the Bible reminds us in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse number 9, it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Some of you have been talking to your family members for years and you've seen no change. Keep talking. Don't give up. Some of you have been witnessing to coworkers and it seems like they're not even paying you any attention. Keep witnessing. Don't give up, because we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. The world is tired of being given up on. They have given up on each other too much already. The Christians can't be the one to come into their lives, and because we don't see growth quick enough, I'm done with you. Well, they've been used to that. You understand what I'm saying to you? We have to be ready to be in for the long haul to see that soul come to Jesus. This verse in Galatians, it's like a gentle nudge, a remind us to keep our eyes open and our hearts ready to seize the opportunities that God presents to us. And the first thing we need to understand is the importance of recognizing these opportunities. It's like being that farmer that I was talking about who had a field full of crops. If the farmer doesn't recognize the value of the crops, he might neglect them. And they rot in the field. Let me tell you something, beloved. Because they ain't dressed in the newest clothes, don't let that be the reason that you don't witness to them. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because they might not have a particular type of education, don't let that be the reason that you don't witness to them. Because they might live on a particular side of town or in a certain neighborhood that you don't deem safe or good enough or people pay enough money to live in, don't let that be the reason that you don't witness from the least of them. Everybody deserves to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that he lives, and on the strength that he lives, they can live. We can live too. God has placed a field of opportunities before us. These opportunities are valuable and they are ripe for the harvest. But if we don't recognize them, we neglect them and they go to waste. In a study conducted by the University of California, Berkeley, researchers found that people who are more aware of their surroundings are more likely to seize opportunities when they arise. This awareness, the researchers suggest, is a key factor in achieving success. So how do we become aware of the opportunities that God places before us? It begins with a shift in perspective. Instead of focusing on our own plans and schedules, we need to start looking for the opportunities that God is presenting to us. We need to be like that farmer who keeps his eye on the field, ready to harvest the crops when they're ripe. A brother by the name A.W. Tozer, a well-known pastor and author, once said, get this is powerful, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things we can do by ourselves. God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. He is looking to do the impossible through each and every one of us. And he says, but what a pity that we plan only the things we can do by ourselves. You don't got the power that God has. You don't have the strength that God has. You don't have the influence that God has. And so this quote is a reminder that God's opportunities often involve tasks that seem impossible to us, but with God, what? All things are possible. So let's not limit ourselves to the things we can do by ourselves. Let's be open to the opportunities that God presents to us, even when they seem impossible. The second thing we need to understand is the importance of seizing these opportunities. Recognizing the opportunities is just the first step. Once we recognize them, we need to seize them. That this requires action on our part. We can't just sit back and wait for the opportunities to come to us. We need to go out into the fields and start harvesting the crops. And in a study conducted by the University of Pennsylvania, researchers found that people who take action are more likely to achieve their goals. Far more likely to achieve their goals than the person is just waiting for it to come to them. You see what I'm saying? This action, the researchers suggest, is the key factor in achieving success. So how do we take action? It begins with a decision. We need to decide to seize the opportunities that God presents to us. We need to be like that farmer who goes out into the field ready to harvest the crops. So let's not become weary in doing good. Let's recognize the opportunities that God places before us. Let's seize these opportunities with boldness and with courage. And let's trust in God's timing, knowing that at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Lord, have mercy. So when we've been looking at John 4 and 35, and I'm almost done, a verse that speaks to us from the importance of seizing opportunities, it's a call to action, a call to work the fields for the harvest. The fields are ripe, beloved. They are ripe with opportunities to share the love of Christ, to extend his grace, and to bring others into the fold. This is not a task to be taken lightly. It requires dedication, commitment, and a heart that is willing to serve. It requires us to step out of our comfort zones, to reach out to those who are different from us, to those who may not know about the love of Christ. Every now and again, I give you a challenge. This week, the challenge is let's be more like Jesus. Let's look for the opportunities to share his love and extend his grace and to bring others into the fold. Let's be the workers in the field that's gathering the harvest. I contemplated talking about yesterday and just talking about the last week, all week. And yesterday, when I got here for the homegoing service for the young brother, it was just people that were hungry for the word of God. And it took me back to a time when Jesus had just lost his cousin, John the Baptist. John had just been beheaded, and Jesus needed, he just needed some time. He needed a moment. And that's a lesson within itself, right? Beloved, when tragic things happen to you, when traumatic things happen to you, stop thinking you just got to roll on through it. If the Messiah, the Son of God, sat back and said, you know what? This was bigger than me. I need to go and steal away. I need to go pray. I need to go hear from God. And if he says that, when traumatic things, when we lose people, when things go haywire in our lives, we have to be wise enough to say, hey, let me get to myself for a minute. Let me log off his social media. Let me chill out. Let me put my phone down for a minute. Let me go spend time with God. And it reminded me, yesterday reminded me of Jesus went to do this, but when he says when he looked up, there were so many people. They were like a sheep without a shepherd. And he began to feel compassion for them. They were hungry for the word of God. They had heard, watch this, he had a word. They had heard he had a word. They had heard that he had some things to say that would be a blessing to their lives. And they were coming in droves. And that's how it felt yesterday, like folk is hungry for a word. Over this past week, we had a situation to occur that absolutely turned the world upside down. Amen. And I went to work Thursday, and it's on Thursdays at my job we have prayer day. We start the morning out 9 o'clock in the morning with prayer. And someone brought the situation up, and everybody was talking. And I said, well, this is what I want to say. We can't forget sin. We can't forget the devil. We can't forget that we have an enemy. And so Kevin and I were talking yesterday. I think it was yesterday we were talking about it. And I said, I've come to this conclusion. Nobody should die for words. But we have to understand we have an enemy. And in this, we're watching this. The Satan tried to bring this divide amongst us people again. And as Christians, we can't bite. We can't bite. We cannot bite. We have to spread Jesus. We got to spread Jesus. We cannot be moved by distraction. Satan is just operating in distraction. And we can't bite. We have to preach the good news, especially in times like this. How do you feel about all of this, Pastor? How Jesus does? How Jesus does? That's a cop out. No, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I feel about this situation like Jesus does, as should we all. And that's hard. I understand. That can be hard, right? But it wasn't hard when we depended on him for everything else. It's these moments that we have to allow, no, allow is not a good word. We have to deal with our flesh and be saved. And be saved. And show the love of God no matter how murky the waters, no matter how dark the opposition, no matter, we've got to show the love of Jesus. And we don't get to pick and choose when we're saved. We don't get to pick and choose. We're saved when it's crazy. We're saved when we don't agree. We're saved when we don't understand. We're saved when we're offended. We're saved. You understand what I'm saying here? That shows Jesus. That's what's going to change the world. Amen. We don't let Satan win. We don't let Satan win. If there's anybody, I feel called to lead this myself today. If there's anybody in the building who desires to give their life to Jesus, we offer you the invitation to come on down. It is the greatest invitation that you will ever be offered. But if today is the day that you say, I am tired of, wow, praise God. I am tired of operating the way that I've been operating in my own strength. And today's the day that I want to give my life to Christ. We offer you the invitation to come on down. Yeah.